pipes leak. Act fast. Leave the area and call your natural gas provider. Also, don't forget about carbon monoxide. It's odorless and invisible, so make sure you have a working CO2 alarm in your home. Keep your natural gas appliances maintained with annual inspection from a licensed technician to keep your home and family safe this season. For more safety tips, visit utilitieskingston.com.
What's going on with the Wagwagon? Tanya Dahaskigo, then on the Watahusadaje, Ungahuan, and Hadiwa Nodas, in the Aboriginal Voices, Oscar Dewa Nyawar Oscar, Ne Jota FM, CFRC.
And it is 6 o'clock, and you are tuned to CFRC 101.9 FM. Ani, Nichikimi, Doug Farquhar, Indigenous, Minwa, Sean Story, as not Minwa, Nishnabi Nawewin. And here we go. Aboriginal Voices for the next 2 hours here at CFRC. It is a lovely evening, -5 degrees right here in Kingston, Ontario, and on this beautiful Tuesday evening. And Sean, did you notice that the weather is just perfect here? Tiny bit of snow.
Perfect for what?
Yeah, well, tiny bit of snow, but the ice out there is freezing up.
Is it finally freezing?
Yeah, so please stay off the water, off the ponds,
jeez, I guess,
and that sort of thing. But I noticed that the city park has some ice that's kind of developing nicely, and a couple of other places north of the city, there are parks where Parks and Recreations from whatever grouping it is, the municipality, that they're putting out water, and it is freezing so nicely. I even hear the canal in Ottawa may be open for the whole stretch, but it's almost open right now. Yeah.
What do you mean, almost open?
Well, I heard as I was headed towards Kingston that almost all of it, I think there's about 400 to 500 meters that's not open due to rough surface.
Oh, I see. But it's all froze.
Yeah, it's sort of frozen. I mean, it'll take the weight, but it just, you know, it won't be safe to skate on the surface. So they're going to work on it. But that's Ottawa. So anyway, I can't wait to go and skate the whole length of that canal. Well, it's the whole length of whatever they work on. It's about 7.8 kilometers. Not bad. You want to come with us? A little exercise, a little nice, gentle skate.
Well, first I'd have to find my skates.
Okay.
Oh, I think I know where they are, but you know, that's the way it goes sometimes.
I've skied on that canal. I've skated on that canal, and I've canoed on that canal.
Yeah.
Not bad. Right. The only thing I haven't been able to do is swim on it.
Oh.
Do I want to?
I'm not sure. I don't think so.
Anyway.
I don't even think the fish want to swim in there.
Yeah, well, they take the river. Anyway, tonight on Aboriginal Voices, we're going to do a couple of chats, but we also want to share some of the music that we have here and Indigenous artists from across Canada. So we're going to have a good week, the weekday event just for us.
Who's this?
This is a good day, yes.
Oh, is it? Okay, good. Yeah. Are you going to play something? Is that what you're
going to? Oh, in a couple of minutes, yeah.
What do you want to know?
First, sorry, Hugo.
Oh, for goodness sakes. All right, Doug.
Sorry about that.
It's like 3 minutes after six. Mm-hmm. And do you want to hear what this thing in Nanaimo?
Ooh.
News bulletin?
What's happening?
I think that's what it is. First Nations entrepreneur testifies in Parliament on Indigenous procurement.
Oh, now that's an interesting thought.
We have to have the steering wheel so we can solve our own problems, says Jacob Beaton. Let's see.
So what's he talking about?
Well, he's talking about entrepreneurial advancement.
Oh, yeah.
Let's see. So he says here that the First Nations entrepreneur believes Canada's current procurement strategy is not working and has outlined the several issues and solutions during a parliamentary meet hearing.
Hmm.
So I don't know if that's provincial parliamentary or, yeah, the big guys.
Oh, the federal one.
Federal.
Yeah.
Jacob Beaton from the Eagle Clan of BC's Northwest Coast testified in Parliament November 29, 2024, as part of the hearings of the government's Indigenous procurement practices. He was invited to testify by Skeenail Bulkey Valley MP Taylor Bacharach.
Ooh.
Yeah. Quite the
that must be quite the
moniker there.
Yeah, but that's kind of a challenge to have to go to Ottawa then to
So is it Ottawa then?
That would be Ottawa. Yeah,
yeah, I guess member of Parliament. Yeah.
Right.
Well,
can you imagine going and speaking at a meeting like that with all these people who are parliamentarians and the committee specific to the issue you want to talk about?
Yeah, I can imagine.
That'd be a challenge.
I would only want to imagine. Beaton is the co-founder of Indigenous-led Tea Creek Farms training program in Kitwenga, which is around 100 kilometers north of Terrace, BC. You been there, Doug?
Not that I know of. Been close to Terrace.
Oh, okay. And he is a leader in the Indigenous food sovereignty movement.
I think we need to talk to him and have him as part of Aboriginal Voices.
Yeah, we'll
the
try.
Whole food sovereignty.
I don't even know if we can get a hold of him. Indigenous procurement is the practice of buying goods and services from Indigenous-owned businesses, which can help their communities develop economically and create relationships with governments and corporations.
Wow. I like this.
I do too, but I'm not sure if I enjoy the name.
No, it's hard to, it's a mouthful, isn't it? But yeah. Still, you know, when you think of...
See, because I would think that Indigenous procurement is... taking?
No, I think it's a.
It's like taking Indigenous people
and putting them in charge.
Self-governance.
What they need.
Procurement, isn't that like?
No, that's like buying
taking?
Things. No, that's buying.
Well, then buying Indigenous people.
No, buying products.
It doesn't say,
to be used.
But it doesn't say that. It says it all the way down at the end. Oh, buying their stuff.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a silly. Well, it's probably one of those government things.
No, but the government policy, they have the minister who was in charge at one time, Minister Anita Anand was in charge of procurement for the whole government. So they go and buy all of the things, the pencils, the pens, the papers, the desks, the water coolers. Oh, wait a minute. That's going to be the discussion for later. Water.
Is it?
Yeah. Oh, First Nations community, you know, communities. And
tired of it, Doug.
You know, so they're, you know, did they buy, you know, the proper things they needed for masks and PPEs?
Who?
The procurement people. So that's what they could be about.
Like Indigenous procurement? You want to know if they bought enough masks?
Well, there's a company that north of Toronto that actually produces, they're Indigenous, and they produced masks for the public during the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
And so you could buy through them what you needed.
Mm-hmm.
Is this what this guy's doing?
Apparently, well, I don't know what he's doing.
They could buy homes. Build them there.
He's
in
doing
the
gardening and whatnot.
Okay.
Food. Remember? Food.
Food security.
Sovereignty.
Oh.
The problems, it says, the current policies encourage corruption and fraud. Beaton said. One example is procurement based on indigenous ownership. It's a common practice for existing non-indigenous businesses to work with an indigenous equity partner for just the purpose of landing a bid.
And you haven't heard of that, have you? Okay.
Another example he mentioned was a GP LP structure, which refers to general partner and limited partners.
Oh.
Oh, wow.
I this is an area
this
that
Beaton
I don't know
guy
anything
is
about.
Right on top of things, isn't he? These are used to make ventures 99% indigenous owned limited partner, that's an LP, but give 99% of operating powers to non-indigenous GPs, general partners. The standard profit share offered to indigenous partners is 5%, which is an open secret. This often results in higher job costs as the 5% acts as a tariff or tax on contracts and jobs. Interesting. He also shared there is no auditing, oversight, or enforcement, meaning it's common for promises to be made for a bid and then not delivered with no consequences.
Now, there's a whole story behind all of that.
Yeah, that sounds like money laundering. My indigenous heritage and that of my initiative, Tea Creek, has only ever been audited once, and that was by another First Nations organization. Procurement currently favors legal First Nations governments and excludes grassroots entrepreneurs like myself. So he said that many First Nations that struggle with capacity issues have to rely on non-Indigenous professionals and suppliers, which results in conflict of interest issues in which non-Indigenous controlling partners put their interests above the values of Indigenous partners. Beaton added, it's easy to fake being Indigenous, but that's really not the main problem.
It's not. Yeah. I mean, getting into the money aspect of it, somebody's figured out. Somebody,
so you want to know what
Indigenous person's figured
out. You want to know what the solution is, according to Beaton?
I would.
Bachrach brought up how the federal government has yet to roll out financial commitments made in a for Indigenous by Indigenous housing strategy in its 2020 federal budget. Bachrach asked Beaton, where do you think the government goes off the rails when it comes to empowering Indigenous organizations and governance with all these decisions around shaping programs and distribution resources?
Okay.
You want to know what he said?
Yeah.
It falls in part not handing the reins over to Indigenous organizations early on. In the processes I've been involved with, I see these federal budgets allotting tens of millions of dollars for a sector of the Indigenous economy. By the time a program hits the ground, the funding has been whittled down to a million dollars or so, said Beaton. We don't need any more studies. We don't need more data. It's all there. We just need to get to work. We need to have the steering wheel so we can solve our own problems.
No, I agree.
Finally, people are saying it. That's it.
Okay. And that was actually from Nanaimo News Bulletin.
Surprisingly, it's Nanaimo.
Yeah. So we have to get the news from as far west as they can go, basically.
Yeah.
Well, not as far west.
Well, they still have typewriters out there.
And computers, come on.
Well, yeah. Same thing.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that all fits with the song that I picked for you. Leanne Simpson song from her CD called Theory on Ice. And this is a Willie Dunn song that she has taken and got all the words that Willie Dunn did and a similar sort of thread with the music in it, but she also added a little bit. So this is Willie Dunn's I Pity the Country, and it's done by Leanne Simpson.
Silly. Lay me down in the shade.
Listening to podcasts and have always wanted to start your own? CFRC can make that happen. Try podcasting today at CFRC 101.9 FM. Check out www.podcast.cfrc.ca for more information and the application form to get started.
Get ready for TEDx Queensview 2025. Join hundreds of curious minds on January 18th and 19th at the Isabel Bader Center for the Performing Arts for a weekend of inspiring talks, bold ideas, and transformative conversations by speakers from diverse backgrounds who share ideas that challenge perspectives, spark innovation, and inspire change. Tickets are available. Learn more on Instagram at TEDx Queensview.
GradChat is a collaboration between the SGS and CFRC, where we feature one graduate student or postdoc each week, providing them the platform to showcase their research and explain how it affects us. We also occasionally do interviews with postdocs, alumni, or grad students on topical subjects. Are you a grad student, postdoc, or alumni that would like to be interviewed? Visit queensu.ca/sgs/grad-chat to fill out the interviewee form. You can listen to Grad Chat every Tuesday at 4 to 4:30 p.m.
Thousands of opinions are at our fingertips. But are all opinions informed? Does your information have a source? Is your social feed based on fact? Only facts can uncover the truth. Professional journalists are committed to balanced and nonpartisan reporting, to independent commentary. They cut through the spin to give you the information and perspective you need. Journalism is essential to democracy, a watchdog over the powerful, an independent voice. Journalism is more important than ever.
Well, there you go, Sean. Just what we needed. A little bit about journalism, a little bit about what Grad Chat's up to.
And journalism.
And the TEDx at Queens. That's going to be quite amazing.
TEDx? Yeah.
Have you seen that?
TED is going to be here?
Well, the TEDx project. So, anyway.
Intellectuals getting up there and talking.
Standing on the stage and going for
like
it.
Like a 40-minute
I don't know how long they're going to be, but we'll see.
It's TEDx or TED?
TEDx, like bracket, TEDx, Queen's University.
Like a part of TED?
Or is good it, question. I don't know.
Or they just say, hey, let's do it, and we'll call it TEDx, though. Because so we don't have to pay TED.
January 19th, you can go and watch.
Where?
Right here at Queen's University.
Really?
Yeah. Didn't you listen to that?
Listening, but I didn't know where it was going to be.
Oh, okay. I'll get you Queen's the date University. And time and action.
TEDx.
January 19th.
Now, here's how I like to watch. I don't like to go.
Oh.
I would like to go. I just watch it on the YouTube.
Yeah.
So that I can fast forward through stuff.
Okay.
Or I can just shut it off because
I don't understand, so I'm out of here. Yeah.
Well, it's not so much I don't understand. It's just, why are you making it complicated?
Yeah. I just want to tell you about the two pieces of music that we heard. One was Izque with Nobody Knows.
And you want to know?
Really like the range of her voice there. And before that, Leanne Simpson with the song I Pity the Country. Hope you enjoyed that one.
I did.
Yeah. It follows the talk that you had that was
me?
The information from Nanaimo.
Oh, that guy.
Yeah.
Beaton. Yeah. Jacob Beaton.
Well, I think we'll try and track down and see if we can get an interview with him through, you know, now that we've got this new camera set up here, maybe we can do it live.
Oh, yeah, they're probably looking at us right now.
Live on the air. Well,
maybe.
I'm looking at the camera.
I can't imagine why they would look at us.
And I'm looking on your screen, and what do you have?
I have a camera. Yeah, so yeah. I
a box camera.
I just recently, as little as maybe about 5-10 minutes ago, I became very intrigued with a 120 film.
Oh.
Millimeter, right? That'd be millimeter, 120 millimeter.
Yeah.
You got your 110.
Right.
Then you got your 35.
Mm-hmm.
There's probably some in between. And then this is 120, and you say there's a 127.
127, yeah. I've used those in the past.
Okay, like there's 70 millimeter film that they use to shoot movies on.
Right.
This would be even bigger. Right?
If
I'm figuring...
The negative... Don't forget, you're talking not about digital camera now. You're talking
about film.
No, this
is not digital camera. Yeah.
So you get negative.
This is the real McCoy film, like Kodak.
Spend some time
back when, you know, Kodak used to make film.
Yes.
Oh, maybe they still make film. But anyways, that's what I've become. Anyways, there's this Mamiya.
Mm-hmm.
C220 Pro TLR medium format film camera.
Are you getting one?
I don't know. I see the price in the U.S. there is $279.99. In the Canada, it'd be $402.60.
Ooh.
And I probably should get it pretty soon.
Yeah.
Because it's probably going to go up higher than that.
Is that right?
Good chance.
Yeah.
Anyways. If anybody has one in their basement, forget what I said about the how much this guy is charging.
Yeah. Now, I got to ask you a quick question. You're interested in photography. So have you been out taking pictures with the snowfall that's happened?
No, I have not. You know why, Doug? Because it's cold out there.
Stop.
Also, I have not had a whole lot of me time, so to speak.
Oh, okay.
I've been doing the bidding of others.
Yeah. Well, that's what radio does to you.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. You got other things you need to do. And there's reasons to do them.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I'm going to say.
Well, I encourage some of our listeners here at Average Voices at CFRC to get out and take photos.
Yeah.
And then, and because this fits in with what we're going to be doing throughout the last 2 weeks of January and the first 2 weeks of February, mm-hmm. is that to do some forest hikes and river walks and, you know, getting out on trails.
Do it now because there's no bugs.
Yeah, but also the challenges. But if you take a picture and then give us your description of the sights, the sounds that you have, the feelings that you might have, a few things like that. And a picture can be worth 2,000 or 3,000, 4,000 words. So you can actually be contributing to Aboriginal Voices here at CFRC. We'll do it by audio. You know, we'll sit down and interview people, whether it's you send your picture to us and we'll talk and record it, or I can bring my recorder and you can show me where you've been.
All right.
The picture helps.
Sounds great, Doug.
Okay. And that includes us.
I think
to get a picture each.
Okay.
That has to do with winter.
Like this guy here, he just built a box.
A camera box.
Yeah. Like there's this really super expensive camera that, you know, sparked my interest.
Oh, okay.
And I decided, well, no, I don't want to spend that much on a camera that is basically manual, super manual.
Says the guy who has a camera that you do mostly in manual anyway, right?
Well, sure.
Our digital cameras are
but still like manual. You get a little bit extra. You receive gratification immediately. You don't got to pay
the digital camera.
You don't got to send it away, and then receive some underexposed or overexposed film,
right? Yeah,
pictures later on.
Very funny.
Yeah.
All right, I've got a song that's going to introduce our next talk, okay? And this is from Asiva, and this was a CD that was sent to CFRC quite a while ago. And in fact, the numbers, it's so long ago, the number's gone. 21st of June. They forgot to put the year on it. Well, because the number is not the year. The 1724.
I'm going to say it was probably 2010.
Yeah. Okay. So Asiva, and their CD is called Listen. Yeah, actually, you're very good at this.
What's that?
Well, it was published in December of 2009.
Oh.
So we would have received it in 2010. And the song.
The beautiful mind up here, just
yeah. You've got so much information. I can't stand it. Anyway, boil water advisory. So I want you to think about water that you just go to the tap, you turn it on, you can drink it, you can bathe in it, and that sort of thing. I want to tell you about some of the reading that I did over the last 3 or 4 days. Quite surprising to me. And we're going to talk a little bit about it. Boil Water Advisory. And this is by Asiva.
Boil Water Advisory. Yeah, Boil Water Advisory. Boil Water Advisory. Boil Water Advisory.
Well, our brothers and our sisters, they've got the dirty water. They got no clean water to live. Oh no, they boil their water to cook in. They boil their water to bathe in. They can't even brush their teeth. Oh no, they're under boil water.
Source of life, and this must be made right. So many communities under advisory. Find the answer, please.
question. Few qualified bodies operating facilities. Oh no, let's get some expertise. Legislate quality. The run to boil water. Advisory. Source of life. And this must be made right. So many communities under advisory. Find the answer, please. Boil water at advisory. Boil water advisory. Yeah, boil water advisory. Chicka pa pa.
Oh,
source of life, and this must be made right. So many communities under advisory. Find the answer, please.
Yeah,
boil water.
Well, there you go, Sean. That is Asiva from their Listen CD. And as you said, 2009.
I said 2010.
Well, that's when we received it, yes. But
right. Well,
I verified
them.
That with you. But it was published in December of 2009. And boil water advisory was a high issue in 2008, 2009, even before that. Going back many, many years.
Has been there for a while now.
Yeah. But interesting.
Gosh, like 30 years, I think, for
us. Oh, even more than
us.
That. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, 30 years. No, actually, I think it was about in the 80s, so 40-some years.
Yeah, there you go.
It goes around about the summer of 78. I don't know when it was really, but I think it was, I remember things being, you know, more or less fine.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, by the way, maybe don't drink that water.
Right.
Maybe get one of those water filters. Which I don't think we ever did.
No. Well, I know some people have been able to get water filters, and this is what I wanted to bring up with you right now is that...
No, I mean just those water pitchers.
Oh, is that... Yeah, like a Brita or something.
Brita, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
See, I wasn't going to name the water filter.
Those are charcoal filters.
Whatever.
As opposed to being a screen filter or a sand filter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or reverse osmosis even, you know. But all these things cost money, and they have to be maintained constantly.
Well, yeah.
Anyway, the reason I brought it, the water advisory, boil water advisory, is, you know, we as the listeners outside of the government were told that by a certain date in 2020, 2021, 2022, 2023, that the boil water advisories would be gone right across the country for First Nations communities. But they weren't. There's still a number.
What time?
Even a few years ago, we were still being told. Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
So my question first was, how come it's not? But then how many how many First Nations communities are still under boil water advisories? Do you have any idea on that?
Too many.
Okay.
All of them. No, I don't know.
Not all of them.
So according to this map that the government has put out, there is BC.
BC has?
20. Oh, 20 are lifted. Zero remaining.
Okay. Alberta?
Alberta would be four have lifted and zero remaining. Five remaining in four communities, 23 lifted.
That's in Saskatchewan.
Yeah, Saskatchewan, yeah. Sorry. Mm-hmm. I'm just looking. They didn't put the actual names.
Oh, yeah. Then Manitoba?
Manitoba, there's five remaining. 13 lifted.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. 20 remaining in Ontario, 77 lifted. Zero in Quebec.
Yeah.
Three lifted.
Now, the problem is...
Out here?
Yeah, that's the Labrador.
Labrador.
And well, it's Newfoundland, Labrador.
Okay, there. One remaining, seven lifted.
Okay. So you have that information for us.
Well, it's...
And I
didn't get it.
But I haven't seen a lot of reporting in the newspapers or on the major television networks. Just a few times, you know, here and there, but they just talk incidentally and then go on from there. But I was reading a couple of magazines the other day. One is the National Geographic magazine. And, you know, they publish once every second month.
Do they still have that?
Yeah. And, and so I was visiting some close friends, and one of the things that... was talked about was this whole boil water advisory, because
in the National Geographic,
in the Canadian Geographic.
Oh,
yeah, Canadian Geographic, and they had boil water advisory situations and the problems within communities that still exist, and so and in a most recent issue, they talked about a community in Northern Ontario, and the problem is for the people. The federal government did build some sort of a water treatment plant. And it takes me back to your first article that you talked about procurement. The problem was that the plant was supposed to be worth about $6 million. And they say it's a $6 million water treatment plant. That's a lot of money to pay for it. But what actually went into the facility was not the right quality of water treatment to make it potable water that they could give to people in their homes. And they also didn't provide the support people or the support materials to keep the water in good quality going through the filters. So there's a huge problem for people, and they're under boil water advisory still. Because if you drink it, it does cause certain cancers from the water. And
oh, yeah.
I think, wait a second, what is going on? Mm-hmm. And then I then read the rest of the article, and the research, the photographer and the journalist went to the community, and they took water samples, and they brought them back and had one tested at a lab at a university, and they had three others tested at... private labs, and then they took a bottle, a thermos bottle of water from that source, and asked the people in Ottawa who were responsible for having overseen this if they would like to drink the water.
That's the Aaron Brockovich approach.
Well, interesting.
What do you mean interesting?
Well, because if you're told... Here's a photograph of the lake where it was taken. Here's the facility that was built by the federal government very recently, I think about 4 or 5 years ago. And then here's the result at the end. And you say that the boil water advisory should be lifted?
Mm-hmm.
Here are before you drink the water or make a decision on this, we're going to give you the science behind it. and they presented the science from the labs. Not one of the labs recommended it, and not only that, but they were at a point where they're saying if you drink this, there are these levels of chance that you will end up with some sort of cancer.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So definitely don't drink it. And then they went into the discussion about where does the water come from? Well, it's actually being flown in because there's no way to drive into this community if it's fly-in. Mm-hmm. Or come in on a boat, or if you're okay in the winter on the kind of winters we're having, you can go in and on a winter road, but they can't carry the weight that they need to carry to bring in the water. So they fly it in.
Nice.
In cases of water. So I guess, the question then became, they're coming in cases of water. The water's held in plastic water bottles.
Mm-hmm.
Well, where does this plastic go when they're finished drinking a half liter or 700 milliliters of water? Most people, they put it in a recycling bin. So that facility's not there in the far north. So not only do they have the water problem, but now they have the plastic problem building up, and then they can't get, take it out. You can't burn it, really. You can't bury it.
Well, I think you can burn it.
Well, you shouldn't.
Oh, I see.
There are chemicals in there that get released from.
I thought you were saying it wasn't possible.
Oh, it's possible. But anyway, I don't know. That's just the question is, now what are we going to learn from this? Do you know?
Absolutely nothing.
Mm.
Going to get a new regime in there, and there's going to be, they're going to get
different
the experts.
Different procurements.
And the experts will say, well, let's do a study.
Oh,
and
good
then,
idea.
And they'll spend a bunch of money to these consultants,
mm-hmm.
experts. And then they'll come up with their little plan, which mimics the plan that, 5 times ago. And then the regime will change.
Yeah, that you're talking 4 or 5 years.
And then after that.
Well, be interesting to see what happens, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyway, so the other thing that came up was a magazine called History. It used to be called The Beaver, and it's looks at the history of the North HBC, the Hudson Bay Company.
Oh yeah, those guys.
Right, but it's there was a discussion in it from about 20 years ago that what are we doing to communities? This is the explorers who were out there trying to get furs and build up the Hudson Bay Company's stores and so on throughout the trading posts. This is going way back in history. But the question from some of the researchers that have been reading the diaries and the logbooks was, what are we doing to this environment? Because the problem was, some of the people were running in trouble getting good clean water, so they were having to boil their water. And I'm talking about the fur traders.
Oh,
so
yeah?
They would have to, they couldn't just go out and travel and drink the water from the rivers and so on. They were finding it difficult because of pollutants. So that then gave me the problem of, what are we looking at? We could actually look to see the Beaver or the History magazine. How long have they been looking at this issue?
And the Beaver?
The people, the editors and the researchers and the writers and journalists, because it shows one of the biggest challenges for us, those people living in 2025, to realize that this whole issue around good quality water within First Nations territories it has been an issue that's been a long time written down and told to governments and to companies, but hardly ever chatted about like we're doing right now. But the interesting thing is, I started reading more about the issue in those magazines, the Canadian Geographic, the History magazine. And then I went online to look it up, and I found a whole lot of information that's available that is current, not the historical part, but the current parts. Why is this a problem? All you have to do is make a phone call to a community, a First Nations community, anywhere in Canada, and you could have a good discussion with people about the water that they have or the quality of the water that they are not allowed to touch. Well, yeah, you laugh, but there are young people.
I can laugh.
Yeah, because you've gone through it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, all right, so I have a song for you.
This is Forrest
Eagle Speaker from Alberta. And all right. His song is called Sweet Alberta.
A woman with blue skies in her eyes, a ridge of rocky mountains where the golden eagle flies. There's a promise in her lakes, paradise in her hand. She holds a gift of passage in a dusty, vibrant land. Oh, sweet Alberta, I'm coming home to your rocky mountains, to your blue ridge skies. Oh, sweet Alberta, I'm coming round. My feet back on the ground. Her lips create tomorrow and deliver you from sorrow. Cradled in her vision and bathed in her wisdom. Alberta is a woman with breath of fragrant flowers, a voice of easy breezes, a smile like summer showers. Oh, sweet Alberta, I'm coming home to your rocky mountains, to your blue ridge skies. Oh, sweet Alberta, I'm coming round to get my feet back on the ground. Oh, on the ground. I'm coming home,
I'm coming home
to your rocky mountains, to your blue ridge skies. Oh, sweet Alberta, I'm coming round,
I'm coming round
to get my feet back on the ground. Oh, sweet Alberta, I'm coming home,
I'm coming home
to your rocky mountains, to your blue ridge skies. Oh, sweet Alberta,
and that was Sweet Alberta by, who was that again, Doug? That was the...
Forrest Eagle Speaker.
Oh, yeah, Forrest Eagle Speaker. Because I was going to say something about Forrest Gump when you said that.
No. Forrest is a good musician. He and his wife did the song, so you heard, and they were singing together.
All right.
Mm-hmm. I was trying to find.
Oh, yeah, with that. You're just trying to find something to play for these
people. That's right. Yeah, just...
For them to listen to.
Mm-hmm.
Hey.
Murray Porter. Okay. And I got to go right now because it's almost the top of the hour. But Murray Porter with I Am an Eagle.
Oh.
That's why I said I wanted to have it go with the...
All right. Oh, that'll work out for the thing that I want to talk to you about after.
Oh, perfect. All right.
After the hour is up.
Murray Porter, here we go.
Monies. Sides torn, cloak me in moonlight, bathe me in rain. I'm made of lightning and I'll rise again.